Srimad Bhagavatam, we begin canto 8, chapter 4, Gajendra returns to the spiritual world, and there are some verses here with no purports, so I'll just read them. This Gajendra had formerly been a Vaishnav, and the king of the country known as Pandya, which is in the province of Dravida, South India. In his previous life, he was known as Indradumya Maharaj. Indradumya Maharaj retired from family life and went to the Malayan Hills, where he had a small cottage for his ashram. He wore matted locks on his head and always engaged in austerities. Once, while observing a vow of silence, he was fully engaged in the worship of the Lord and absorbed in the ecstasy of love of Godhead. While Indradumya Maharaj was engaged in ecstatic meditation, worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the great sage Agastya Muni arrived there, surrounded by his disciples. When the Muni saw that Maharaj Indradumya, who was sitting in a secluded place, remained silent and did not follow the etiquette of offering him a reception, he was very angry. Agastya Muni then spoke this curse upon the king. Well, text 10. Tasmada imam asapam adat asador. Ayam durat makrita budhir adya. Vipravamanta vishatam tamizram. Yata gaja stabda mati sa eva. Tasmani Anukimaraj Indradumya. Imam, this shapam, curse adat, he gave asadu. Not at all gentle. I am this. Duratma, the greatest soul.
Akrita.
Without education.
His intelligence.
Now. Vipra. Avamantra. Insulter. Vishatam.
Let him enter.
Darkness. Yata. As. Gaja.
An elephant.
Stabda. Mati.
Possessing blunt intelligence.
Saha.
He.
Eva. Indeed. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Agastya Muni then spoke his curse against the king. This king Indradumya is not at all gentle, being low and uneducated. He has insulted Brahmana. May he therefore enter the region of darkness and receive the dull, dumb body of an elephant. Prabhupada, an elephant is very strong. It has a very big body. And it can work very hard and eat a large quantity of food. But its intelligence is not at all commensurate with its size and strength. Thus, in spite of so much bodily strength, the elephant works as a menial servant for a human being. Agastya Muni thought it wise to curse the king to become an elephant, because the powerful king did not receive Agastya Muni as one is obliged to receive a Brahmana. Yet although Agastya Muni cursed Maharaj Indradumya to become an elephant, the
curse was indirectly a benediction. For by undergoing one's life as an elephant, Indra Dumart ended the reactions for all the sins of his previous life. Immediately after the expiry of the elephant's life, he is promoted to Vaikuntha to become a personal associate of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, in a body exactly like that of the Lord. This is called Swarup Mukti. Texts 11 to 12. Shukadeva Goswami continued, "My dear King, after Agastya Muni had thus cursed King Indradumna, the Muni left that place along with his disciples. Since the king was a devotee, he accepted Agastya Muni's curse as welcome because it was the desire of the Supreme Personality of God. Therefore, though in his next life he got the body of an elephant, because in devotional service he remembered how to worship and offer the Lord. The position of a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although the king was cursed, he welcomed the curse because the devotee is always aware that nothing can happen without the desire of the Supreme Lord. Although the king was not at fault, Agastya Muni cursed him, and when this happened, the king considered it to be due to his past misdeeds. Tate nukambam susamikshamanaha. This is a practical example of how a devotee thinks. He regards any reverses in life as blessings of the Supreme Personality of God. Therefore, instead of being agitated by such reverses, continues his activities of devotional service. And Krishna takes care of him, enables him to be promoted to the spiritual world, back to Godhead. The devotee has to suffer the reactions of his past deeds. The Supreme Lord arranges for him to be given only a token of such reactions. And very soon, he is free from all the reactions of material contamination. One should therefore adhere to devotional service, and the Lord Himself will very soon see to one's promotion to the spiritual world. Devotees should not be disturbed by unfortunate circumstances, but must continue his regular program, depending on the Lord for everything. The word upadaranya, considering, is very significant in this verse. The word indicates that a devotee knows what is what. He understands what is happening in material conditioned life. Same conceptions are repeated again and again and then finally again. Namely, that how a devotee sees the material world and how Krishna arranges that curses are not necessarily curses, if they're by saintly persons, but they can possibly also be benedictions. Now the way we see things begins with one thing. Of course, Buddha Yoga or Krishna consciousness requires intelligence, but what is that primary aspect of intelligence is to see beyond the false ego. To see the difference between the false ego and the real ego. Which Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Nanyam Gunevyas Kartaram Vidashta Eva Nupashiti Gunevyas Chaparandriti Madhavam Sotigashiti. When you can see that in all activities there's nothing but the three modes, and that the Supreme Lord is transcendental to all these modes, then you can actually know my spiritual nature. So Prabhupada, we can transcend all these modes simply by understanding things properly. And that activity is performed in knowledge, actual knowledge, strengthen one's advancement in real knowledge. So what is that, seeing things properly? That we have a choice. Either performing activities in devotional service, or performing activities through sense gratification. Srimad-Bhagavatam, and Chaitanya Charitamrita, and all of the Vedic literatures are advertisements, well, at least the Vaishnava literatures. They're advertisements for devotional service. That's all they're advertising. And everything besides that is advertising for sense gratification. Now, for sense gratification, advertisement is really not necessary, but the demons are afraid people might become devotees, so they have to advertise for sense gratification. Because the birds, they don't put out the big propaganda where to eat, where to sleep, where to mate, and where to defend. There's no excessive propaganda advertisement amongst the birds or the bees or the elephants, even as mentioned here. These things are natural attractions for the conditioned soul, and by the impetus of the material energy itself, the form of lust and anger and greed, one naturally performs its activities in the material world under the three modes. But materialists aren't satisfied with just being an animal. They want to make sure everyone becomes the lowest animal possible. That everyone can try to, quote, enjoy their senses with the maximum of impetus coming from lust, anger, and greed, so that one can fall into the maximum delusion. That one can lose ultimately one's memory of being a human being, of having some, if one had any training at all in controlling the mind and senses. The mind, materialists or demons actually, they want to see that people forget any trace of any remembrance of being civilized. Instead, they want people to lose their intelligence and simply follow their senses. That their view is that there is no God, there's no soul, there's no process of liberation, there's only sense gratification. And in the endeavor to get sense gratification, the mightiest survive. Dog, eat dog, and everything else. So this is born out of atheistic godless philosophy, and this is what people study at the university. They go to the university, this is the main thing that you study. I studied for, I only went to the university physically for 3 years, and I studied psychology at the university. Then I studied Hare Krishna in my senior year. I did a paper on the Hare Krishna movement. But psychology means that actually their psychology was called behavior modification. And the main was experimental psychology. Experimental means to prove that we're actually animals. That was the whole endeavor. And how did they prove it? Their main acharya was B.F. Skinner, he was the acharya, and he took his disciple succession came from Pavlov. Pavlov's experiments with dogs. Pavlov would feed dogs some food and then ring a bell. And then the dogs would solve it. So he kept on doing that, and finally he just rang the bell. The dogs, expecting the food, would produce saliva. So he proved to him what's called, there is stimulus, and then there is conditioned reflex. So his idea is that human beings are just like animals. Whatever they're doing is simply based upon stimuli and then their conditioned reflex. Aimed at sense gratification, of course. There was no such thing as free will, and that's why our philosophers came up with this idea of, what do we call that? sometimes you think about something before you do it. It became a very popular thing in ISKCON.
Premonition.
What's that?
Premonition.
No, it's something like that. It's that when you have the stimuli, you consider whether or not you're going to follow the stimuli, or whether you're going to restrain your senses or do something else. So this is unique, because people in the material world are not taught that there's any alternative than sense gratification. So they can only give up one form of sense gratification for another. But actually, there's another alternative, namely to find out what Krishna wants us to do, and to do that. So that requires some thought. That's why it's called free will. Without that thought, if we only have two choices, then the only way we can have free will is to take one choice and the other. And if free will is not that I have many choices and they're all going to give me the same result. That's not free will. Free will is I actually have a valid one side as a choice and the other side is another choice. So either we act according to our senses or we act according to Krishna consciousness. And that depends upon our vision. Therefore, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that we're covered by lust, and that we're being impelled by lust, and it's different varieties. And where is lust hanging out? In other words, where is its sitting place? Indriyani mano buddhir asyadishta na uchade ethera vimavadyatyesha jnanam avrityadehina. The senses, the mind, and the intelligence are the sitting places of lust, which veil the real knowledge of the living entity and bewilders. So lust is hanging out in our senses, and our mind, and our intelligence. So how do they become active and how do they become deactivated? Well, it all begins with hearing. Either we hear the glories of material existence, how wonderful it would be to enjoy the senses, or we hear the material world about how wonderful it is to get out of sense gratification to the platform of liberation. Either way, we're in the center for our happiness at the center, either of the sense gratification or the happiness out of liberation. But simply we're striving for our happiness with what has been provided to us, namely the senses, mind, and intelligence. And the other alternative is hear the glories of Krishna, how will we act for Krishna? Then we not only get liberation, but we get love of God. We become an associate of Krishna, and we can serve Him instead of our mental, our gross and subtle physical bodies. So that's our option, that's our free will. It all begins with who we want to hear from. Nowadays, we have so many choices. You have the internet, you can surf the internet, and you can drown in the internet. Anyone who surfs the internet for too long will eventually get bitten by some of the sharks that are floating in the internet's water. They'll get devoured by the shark and drown. Eaten alive by the shark and drown. So surfing the waves of the internet is generally not a good idea. There may be some practical information there to be obtained, but aimlessly trying to find out what's available for our hearing the glories of something. I think most people, when I go on my computer to the store to download the updates for some of the programs I have, you see the main thing on the internet, besides pornography, which Apple Store doesn't sell, but I'm sure it's available somewhere. But for Apple Store, their main business is games. You can play.
They want you to play games. They're always offering you 3 months free of their games, and they're selling literally thousands of games. Because people don't like reality. Reality is not very... The reality of sense gratification is rather depressing. Instead, they're trying to escape into games. But when they see someone trying to become Krishna conscious, they say, why are you escaping? Why don't you escape into games like we are? Be normal. Why are you escaping into reality? That's unfair. If we hear the glories of material sense gratification, then the mind becomes a repository of all desires. There's no limit to how many desires can be obtained and contained within the mind. They're just like lined up. Today I'm going to eat this, tomorrow I'm going to make so much money, I'm going to buy this, I'm going to go there, I'm going to do this. It's just like so many desires. And this is all, at the end of the day, I'm going to be happy. I'll be ecstatic in sense gratification. The food will taste like it came, it's summer rasa. Everyone will bow down and offer me millions of respects. Everything will just come easily to me. I just snap my fingers and the money from heaven falls down. So everyone's dreaming of a life a perfect sense gratification. And the opposite is coming. But anyhow, the mind is just filled with these ideas, these promises for sense gratification. Because that's all it is just promises. If we look back in the past, if we're intelligent, then we see all the problems we had with sense gratification. And if we're unintelligent, then we look back in the past and see the moments where we thought we were happy. Where happiness became, the idea of happiness became prominent. And then when the mind gets filled up with ideas of sense gratification, then the senses start to get agitated. From the mind flows lust into all the different senses. They become agitated. Everyone looks beautiful. Everything looks like it will taste wonderful. The flowers, even if they have no smell, seem like they may smell beautiful. The birds are chirping as they're eating the poor worm, but we don't hear the worm doing a little bit different than chirping. But everything is wonderful, romantic. And then the soul thinks, well, life is not as bad as it's, they tell us in the Hare Krishna movement. Opportunities. And so, lusty intelligence, when the soul becomes willing, influences the soul to acquire. So then the soul says, it's not so bad being a man. And so the soul accepts a false ego under lusty intelligence. When this intelligence looks around and says, wow, it looks like it's promising. And then the soul says, yes, let's utilize our intelligence to experience the promises that material nature is offering us. But in order to do that, we have to acquire a false ego, which then we can carry out with our intelligence activities with the mind and senses to try to enjoy what appears to be wonderful. Just like in a restaurant, it looks wonderful. And then when they bring it to you, look, what is this? Where did this come from? Didn't want to kill it before you offered it to me? Why is it crawling? So material nature is always advertising, and it's always giving a glossy picture how it's going to be wonderful. And then it turns out, what happened? Truth in advertising, what happened to it? So Maya was never truthful in its advertising. It's the master of deceit. That's why it's called Maya. But when the devotee hears the glories of devotional service, then he also has an opportunity. If his intelligence becomes purified and he understands that these momentary experiences of happiness in the material world were not the whole picture, there are also large time frame times of dissatisfaction, depression, anxiety, fear, and many other unwanted experiences in the material world. Then the soul is offered an opportunity to utilize his mind and senses under the spell of the real ego. I'm Krishna Das, or Krishna Dasi. Then if one accepts that real ego, then one can utilize one's intelligence, utilize the mind and senses in Krishna's devotional service. And then Krishna can reciprocate with us accordingly. Otherwise, it's either Krishna is going to reciprocate with us, or Maya is going to reciprocate with us. Either Srimati Radharani will reciprocate with us and engage us in pure devotional service, or Maya will engage us in illusory service to Krishna. Either way, we have to serve Krishna. One will be very unpleasant. The other one becomes more and more pleasant as time goes on. But as long as in the background we have this idea, well, I could enjoy in this way in the material world, I accept that. But in this other way, it's possible. There's still hope. Then sometimes we'll accept devotional service and identify ourselves with as Krishna Das or Dasi, and sometimes we'll accept sense gratification, thinking, well, let me just give it one last try. Maya's, this time she promised me it's going to be all right. She has an honest face. I have faith in her. She wouldn't lie to me. I'm a nice person. And then we have to learn again. Maya says, oh, I'm sorry, I tried, but you know, we are in the material world, what can you expect? Well, Maya will never tell us, actually, I'm here just to deceive you, I want to punish you. Maya will never say that. Maya will say, I'm your best friend. I want you to be glorified. I want you to enjoy. I want you to have all opportunities in the material world available. And if there's any problem, don't worry, I'll take care of it, because you're a nice person. I wouldn't do anything bad to a nice person. And then we get fooled again and again and again. Until we get higher enough experience in Krishna consciousness, we stop trying to get fooled by Maya and accept Krishna consciousness. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions, comments?
Hare Krishna. Thank you. We always see Maya as very cruel, but it also seems that sometimes she may actually give an honest blessing, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, by introducing a person to some Jnanamishra Bhakti. That if she's pleased, really pleased with somebody, even in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, she gives the Gopal Mantra to, what's the name of that, Sarup Brahmana or... So, is...
Gop Kumar.
Gop Kumar?
Yeah, Gop Kumar. Sarup is when he's in the spiritual world.
Yes. And the other one got from Shiva, right? Anyway, so she can also give the good mantra. So what would it entail to get the honest mercy from Maya?
Well, we have to remember Lord Shiva and her, their devotees. So if one is a devotee, they may... But that she's not acting as Maya when she gives spiritual mantras. That can only come from a devotee of Krishna. You can't get enlightenment from illusory energy. Yes?
In the last covering of the universe, she also offers all kinds of help in preaching to Gop Kumar.
Preaching? I think she offers... Well... The Brihad Bhagavatamrita that I read, she offers all kinds of enjoyment. She was going to surrender herself completely to Gop Kumar, give him all opportunities here. But, you know, preaching about what?
Krishna Bhakti.
No. That's only available unless you receive them, unless she's acting as a devotee in the line of succession, any mantra she's going to give you or considered nisprala, won't bear any fruit. You have to be in line in succession from Krishna. Otherwise, they're useless. Yes.
So this is what Krishna says in the Gita, in the 7th chapter, that antavattu palam tesham, that blessings from the demigods are for the stupid. And at the same time, they are all devotees, so maybe we can get the good blessings from
them. You could, if they're acting as devotees, if you're going approaching them as devotees. Vaishnavam Shambhu, Shiva is the greatest devotee. So he has his followers who are also devotees chanting Krishna's glory. So it depends what you're approaching them for. If you go to a wealthy man, like, and they ask for, you know, for some charity, then he may just get rid of you, give you some charity. But if you want to do some service to him, you know, then he may give you other opportunities. Service to some higher cause. So we approach the demigods out of lust, anger, and greed. Just to get rid of us, they'll give us the benediction. But if we approach them as devotees, like Bharat Maharaj did, then they'll tell us about Krishna. They'll give us Krishna bhakti. Therefore, Brahma, he gave Haranyakashipu so many benedictions, but he gave us the Brahma Samhita, if we want to read that. Depends what you want from him.
Yeah. Another question. It was from a few verses back. On Indradyumna, King Indradyumna taking Vanaprastha. So if we revive the system of Vanaprastha, it seems so out of custom in the modern society. It seems that, especially, I may be wrong, but it seems that ladies will not like men taking Vanaprastha.
Well, they could retire with the men. There's no problem with that. Vanaprastha does mean that it's only a sannyas they separate. With Vanaprastha, they can sit down and play shuffleboard together, or checkers, or that's modern Vanaprastha. Go to Miami, Florida. Go to the beach together. But that just means that they'll go to a holy place together and chant Hare Krishna and hear about Krishna, go on pilgrimage together. That's also Vanaprastha. Yes, Avaduta Roy.
Question one. It seems to me that in some cases the sages are a bit in rajas, like Durvasa, or the guru whose king disciple killed mistakenly a cow, not the tiger.
You're losing me. I don't. Tiger? Was it? Yeah.
It seems to me that in some cases the sages are a bit in rajas, like Durvasa, or the guru whose king disciple killed mistakenly a cow, not the tiger. He was in tamas.
What was that, tiger or something? The cider?
Mistakenly killed
a
cow instead of
a
tiger.
Oh, kill the tiger. Yeah.
Still, these rishis are very powerful and their curse become fulfilled. Does that mean
the curse become what?
Still, these rishis are very powerful and their curse becomes fulfilled.
Fulfilled.
Does that mean that anybody can curse us?
Yeah, anyone can curse you. Doesn't mean it'll be effective, though. But watch out, if Vishishta Muni, if he curses you, he has a lot of pious activities behind his curse. When you curse someone, you lose some of your pious activities, generally speaking. So, but anyone can curse you. I think there was a vulture cursing a cow to die. The cow didn't die because of the vulture's curse. But still, it was trying hard to curse the cow to death. Okay, next one.
In the Bhagavatam commentary, I read that on the mature level of devotion, one becomes free from duality or meditator and object of meditation. But we can see that even mature devotees have this duality. So what means actually to become free from duality of meditator and object of meditation?
See everything simultaneously one but different from Krishna. Parasya Shaktir Vidaiva Shuyate Svabhavaki Jnana Bala Kriya Cha. That everything is coming from Krishna, and therefore not to see anything as different from either Krishna himself personally or Krishna's energy. And that Krishna is controlling everything. Then there's no duality, because Krishna is all good, and therefore all his energies are good, and whatever is happening is good. Although there's difference, depending on what it's good for. Punishing the rebellious souls is good, and bringing the advanced devotees back to the spiritual world are good, but it's all good. Okay, anything else? Yes.
You mentioned that sometimes we decide for Krishna and sometimes we decide for Maya. Could I ask how can we recognize that we decided for Maya? So how can we recognize when are we acting wrongly?
Well, there are 9 processes of pure devotional service, beginning with hearing, chanting, remembering, serving, offering prayers, etc., surrendering everything. So if we're engaged in one of these 9 processes, then we're in Krishna consciousness, following Krishna's instructions. And if we're not, then we're Maya.
Thank you.
Anything else? Kuala Grantarai Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.